Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
The scripture reading to start today's teaching will be taken from the book of Luke chapter 4 from verse 17. Now Jesus walked into the synagogue in Nazareth and he opened to the book of Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, the Bible says, he found the place where it was written. From verse 18, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." In verse 21, he said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Now, I'm trying to bring out a point here, that God has a plan for mankind, and he has a plan of good only for people. He said, "I know the thoughts I have towards you." Now, he was saying this to the children of Israel who were about to step into captivity. He said, even though you are going into captivity, he said through Jeremiah, "I know the thoughts I have towards you. They are thoughts for good alone and never for evil. I want to give you a future and a hope." Are you getting me? That is, God always has a positive plan for the people that will obey him. God's plan is always for good and is never for evil. So when Jesus came, his coming was to release God's plan unto mankind. He said, "The Spirit of God anointed me that I might preach, number one, the gospel to the poor." You will notice something here. When he said about those who are brokenhearted, he said, "I should give them healing. Their hearts were broken." Now, those who were captive, he came to give them what? Deliverance. Those who were blind, he came to give them sight. And then those who were oppressed, he came to set them free. Now he now said, "I came to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." What's the acceptable year of the Lord? Is the year in which all debts were canceled. Every negative thing that was written against everybody is canceled. He said, "I've come to proclaim all of these things." But please, my emphasis again, because what we have been talking about is creating the opportunities for prosperity. You will notice that it's clear English that what he came to preach to the poor was the good news of prosperity, because he said to the blind, "I came to give him sight." So the man who was poor, he came to give him that which he did not have. That is what God comes to do every time. But there's another side to it, which I must emphasize again. Anytime God wants to do something on the earth, of course, where he starts from is that he has a plan in heaven. Jesus told disciples to pray like this. He said, "Pray like this: Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is recorded in heaven." That's what he was saying. That is, anything that God wants to do on earth, first he records it in the heavens. But before he can do the thing on the earth, are you getting me? He has to find a man that he will do it through. Please get my point. He said to Isaiah, "Who shall we send? Who will go for us?" When God wanted to forgive people's iniquities, he said, "I still need somebody to stand in the gap between me and these people." That is, every time God wants to do something, when he was going to deliver the children of Israel, the Bible said that they were delivered by the hand of a prophet, and by the hand of a prophet, they were kept. That is, God had to send one person, somebody, to go and bring them out of where they were into the place where they are supposed to be. Are you getting my point? So we're talking about that creating the opportunity for prosperity. I said this last time, I just want to say it again, that we have prayed. I'm one of those people that have prayed for our nation. I'm one of those people that God has given the spirit of faith so that I believe very strongly in the prosperity, in the good that God is going to bring to this nation. But I said, when God is ready to do things, we read from Psalm 126 that he said, "Restore our captivity, O God," that's our prayer, "as streams renew the desert," if you use the New Living Translation. And God answers, this is the way it works, "He that sows in tears shall reap with joy." That's the way it works. That is, I am ready to pour forth my blessing. Do you get? But before I can pour it forth, people must cooperate with me. They must be ready to go out and go and do things that will activate the release of that blessing that I packaged for them. So we have been talking about that, creating that opportunity for prosperity. God needs us to walk with him so that the blessing that he has for us can be released. You know, there's an attitude you find amongst people. They will stand from afar and watch what is wrong and comment on what is wrong. I always say, then who will correct that which is wrong? Since all we are doing is commenting on that which is wrong, then who is going to correct that which is wrong? Sometimes people will say, our leaders. One day I was on a radio program. I was there with another man. And he was talking about our leaders. And I was talking about us. Because you see, the argument I gave him that day was that, who is the leaders? I said, because 1979, I heard a story about our leaders. Shagari was leading then. Then 1983, he was overthrown, and we had General Muhammadu Buhari and Tunde Idiagbon. They came on the scene. People were still complaining, our leaders. After that, he left, and you have Babangida, he came, and people complained about our leaders. And now, please, I'm mentioning the heads of states, but don't forget that as they were coming in and going out, so were state governors coming in and going out. So were ministers coming in and going out. So were central bank governors coming in and going out. So were local government officials coming in and going out. So I kept on explaining to the man. I said, look, over the years, we've had new and up. And don't forget, from 1979 till today, I said, it's almost 30 years. Leaders have come and leaders have gone, and we are still complaining our leaders. I said, is there a cult called the cult of leaders? Is there a family from which we draw all the leaders? How come all the leaders seem to have a problem? I said, that tells you something. It's not just about our leaders. I said, listen, let's stop looking at pointing at somebody. I said, let's start pointing at ourselves. Because one day you and I will become a leader. Do you get my point? In 1979, 80, 81, a lot of people were pointing to our leaders. 10 years later, they were leaders. And then the people behind started pointing at them. They are our leaders. Then some of those who pointed at them, right now, they are leaders. So I told the man, I said, excuse me, sir, let's forget our leaders. Let's remember us. Because when we are ready, God knows how to elevate the man that is ready to the position of leadership. I'm emphasizing the point that to create the opportunity for prosperity lies in your hands and it lies in my hands. We have prayed. I keep on saying this. We have prayed, and I am persuaded that God has answered. And God says, opportunity for prosperity, oh boy, it lies in your hand, oh girl. You have to do something about it. Are you getting me? Now, please don't forget, this is what we have been talking about. This is our responsibility. Nobody is going to come from afar to do it for us. You and I are the people that God has planted, that these people will do something. And if they don't do anything, nothing will be done. Until God finds a Moses, the people will always remain in captivity, even though he heard their prayers long ago. What are you? Let me say to you, you are a Moses in your own right. There is something that God wants you to liberate me and my children from. If you will manifest, then I will be liberated. There is something that you, your friends, your family, your children need, that I am your Moses. If I manifest, you will be liberated. Now, if all of us, various Moseses from every corner, manifest their own calling, then you will find out that a great opportunity for prosperity has been created in the land. Are you getting my point? So we said that we must believe these things, because that's what I'm saying. Once we have accepted these things in our hearts, you will find out that from inside us, great things will begin to come out spontaneously, without our exercising too much energy upon them. One of the reasons why we exercise so much energy in life and get little is because what our actions are saying are different from what our heart has imbibed. Are you getting my point? We imbibe a different thing when it comes to what we are doing. You see somebody go out to the office and says, this country is useless, this government is bad, this company is useless. You're asking, why do you get up every morning? Are you getting my point? And then you keep going to the same office. That's why you will not prosper there. That's why you will not do well there. Last time, what I ended the broadcast with was to explain to us that we must say, because I'm talking right now to those who have believed my truth, the things that I am saying. Let me say it again. God is able. We have come to understand that God is God and there is none else. And this thing we are saying must be done. We, you and I, must create the opportunity for prosperity. It's a divine assignment. It is a divine assignment. I was teaching last Saturday, all right, in the ministry office. And I explained to people that there is something that God has planted inside your heart. Are you getting me? And inside my heart, that we just must do. The people around you may not understand, why is this man just, he won't stop trying to start a business, even though he's not making so much from it. It is because if he does not do it, he can't have peace in his mind. You know why it's like that? Because God needs you. He needs me to do something on the earth. People have prayed, and they are waiting for the manifestation of God. And God said the whole of creation is groaning, waiting for the revelation of the sons of God. That is, the answer to their prayer is your manifestation and my manifestation. Are you getting the point I'm making? So we have come to realize it, that it is necessary. It must be done. And I'm saying that once you have put all these things, all these words that I'm saying, they are building faith in your heart. And with that faith, you must respond to every situation of life. Now, let me say something to you. People sometimes, when they want to talk in life, there's something that makes them restrain themselves in how they are going to speak. Because a man wants to talk, he doesn't know the way by which he will get something done. Are you getting my point? You know, maybe somebody says now, you know, in this country, don't worry. My friends and I, we're going to build great enterprises. One day we're going to start exporting. And somebody said, what are you going to export? The man doesn't know yet. Therefore, he's afraid to talk in public. Let me say something to you today. Don't ever be afraid. The thing that you will export, when the time comes, God will reveal it to you. Let me say something to you about divine things. So, you don't have to know it now. Do you follow the point I'm making? The other day, I was thinking about it. Many of us know this company called Intel. They are the world's number one manufacturer of computer processors. One day, I read their story. You know, now they are the world's number one manufacturer of processors. Do you know they only decided to be manufacturing processors after the South Koreans took the manufacturing of other parts of a computer, all the other chips and memory systems and all of that? They began to manufacture it cheaper than Intel. That's what Intel was doing before. Intel looked at itself and said, that the CEO that time looked at his deputy. He said, if they sacked us today, well, he said, what do you think will be the steps that our replacement will take? He and his deputy agreed that I think they will first shut down the manufacturing of all these memory chips and all of that, and they will start manufacturing only processors. So they got up next day, shut down the whole of the factory, the arms of their factory, manufacturing the other things, and began to focus on manufacturing only processors. Guess what? They shot to the top, and right now they are still number one. Now, I'm trying to bring out something here. You see, it was circumstances in life that turned them to focus on something. Listen, in every adversity you go through, God is bringing out something you did not think about before. So I'm saying something here. When you are going to declare, listen, talk. Are you getting me? Say it anyhow. It doesn't cost you anything. But one thing I said last time, and I should say it again, is that the world around you has ears. What I mean, the very soil you are standing on has ears. The roof of your house has ears. The trees around you, they have ears. Listen, when you keep speaking, and you are speaking out of a conviction that has been placed inside your soul by the Spirit of Christ, listen, eventually, what you did not even know will begin to come out of you. That is, one day an idea will come. You wouldn't know that idea was going to become anything great. It's only when it has become great that you realize that, one day I said this thing and it was like a joke. Please, I'm explaining something here. That when we begin to declare, it doesn't mean we have a clear picture of what the whole of the future holds. I like what somebody said. They said, I don't know what the future holds, but one thing I know is the person who holds the future. And listen, that's what I'm preaching. I'm preaching faith in God. That it's not your determination that will make you succeed. No. It's because you believe that with God, nothing shall be impossible. Please, I hope you're getting my point. Because once you have believed like that, Paul described what he called the spirit of faith. He said, we having the same spirit of faith as the one who said, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we speak. Please, I know some people will tell you, you don't have sense. I know because I have been told before severally. There was a day somebody looked me in the face and said, you talk as if this God works on your behalf alone. I said, listen, my friend, he works on the behalf of anybody who will believe in him. Are you getting me? And if you want, you can take your own part of him. God is big enough for everybody. I'm not monopolizing him. The same fellow another time looked at me. He said, don't you think it is wrong to talk so foolishly? I said, I know whom I have believed. I am speaking according to what I have believed. Do you follow my point? I have shared my faith with people and somebody looked at me and said, you, I'm sorry for you. The person looked as if I was not in touch with reality. And let me tell you, none of the words I've declared by virtue of my faith in God has ever fallen to the ground. And the rest that have not yet been manifested, I know one day they will be manifested and they will never return to God void. Let me give an example. Personally, I am not afraid of tomorrow. one day, will I have money to take care of my children? What would they eat? Where would they live? You know, this life can be uncertain. I know life in itself can be uncertain, but God is certain. The Bible says he delights in the prosperity of his servant. The word that came to me very strongly was from the book of Isaiah, chapter 66, verse 12. It said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. It says, seek from the book of the law and read. None of these shall fail, neither shall any want its mate. That is, none of them shall lack its meat. He said, why? He said, because the mouth of the Lord has commanded, therefore his spirit, it has gathered them. That is, once we speak according to God's word, even though what we are describing is not natural, the spirit of God goes out and creates something new. And if we speak according to the word, and if we speak according to God's testimony, listen, we will always receive the manifestation from the hands of God. Isaiah said like this, he said, I and the children whom the Lord has given me, we are for signs and for wonders. What are wonders? I like the way R.W. Schambach said it. He said, a wonder is that which make people wonder. That is, you mean this guy could do this and we did not know. Are you getting my point? There are places where you listening to me tonight went to look for jobs and people said you were not qualified. You, if you believe God's word, you will go back to those places one day and you'll be their number one customer. You'll be coming and be saying, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. One day you will walk to such, they'll say the company's in distress. You will put your hand in your pocket, whip out your checkbook and write a check to buy the whole company. And you will tell your son, you know, 25 years ago, I came to this place to look for work. And they said that they don't employ people like me. He said, now the company belongs to us. You will give it to your son as a birthday present when he's 21. To show him, no, listen. To show him that he must have faith in God. That every time he looks at this company and says, this company is mine. He said, my father bought it to prove to me that God is God and there is none else. You know, the children of Israel, when God was instructing them, it's the kind of thing he taught them. He said, every year you will do this. And your children will say, why are you doing this? He said, it's to let you know that God brought us out of Egypt. Are you getting what I'm saying? There are things you will do just to prove to people that it was God, are you getting me, that brought us out of Egypt. A young man gave a fat offering once. And when I said, why did you do this? He said, I just looked at my life. I said, only God could have blessed me like this. So to prove it, he took out the check. No, you are getting the point I'm making. No, there are things that people do, all right, just to prove that God was faithful. What am I trying to explain? That when I'm saying talk, declare, I am not saying speak according to that which you physically can see. But please speak according to that which the revelation of God's word has brought into your life. You say, Pastor Banky, what do you mean by revelation of God's word? Have you been tuning in and listening to this program? Anything I tell you to say, go and repeat it. I'm telling you, that is the revelation of God. They say, come, see, opportunity for visa. Go and gather one, go and sell all that you have and buy a visa to Australia. You say, why should I do that? He said, for prosperity's sake. You say, where I am right now, I am already prospering. He said, but you don't have a car yet. He says, it's because you can't see real prosperity. Inside my heart, I have been converted to the heart of prosperity. Watch it. In a few years, I will begin not to drive cars, but to give them out as presents. I will look at a company that's struggling. I will say, boys, it's because you don't have a car to move your product around. Come to my office. I'll give you one of the jeeps there. We are not using it. When you talk like that, listen to me. If people don't laugh at you, you have not yet talked enough. But believe me, when they begin to laugh at you, be happy. That is, you are beginning to become a wonder. That is, you know what? That's a wonder. He said, behold, I and the children that the Lord has given me, we are for signs and for wonders. I've said it that, look, if you see a man who's behaving crazy, check in one or two things. Either he's really mental or he has faith. That is, the man of faith and the mentalo, they look alike. Listen, if people laugh at you because you look like you are a mentalo, be happy. As long as you are speaking according to God's word, he said, to the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to these words, it's because they do not have any light. And you that have light, therefore, what will characterize you? It is that you are speaking not according to experiences. It is that you are speaking not according to circumstances. It's that you are speaking not according to what your eyes can see that your life already contains based on the material things that you possess. Because a man's life does not consist in the abundance or lack of it, of course, of the things that he possesses. But when you are speaking according to the law, according to the testimony, according to God's word. Listen, if you speak like that, Isaiah said, indeed, you are also a candidate for wonder. Are you getting my point? He said, I and the children that the Lord has given me, we are for signs and for wonders. Now, what have I been explaining? that once we have created that situation in our heart, by accepting the truth of God and rejecting the lie of Satan, the one that the alarmists have told us, they've told us the accidents that happened, they forgot to tell us the deliverances that also happened. Once we have accepted the truth and rejected the lie, then righteousness as a force has been generated in our hearts. Then God said, what do we do next? We begin to speak according to the law and according to the testimony. And if you do that, most certainly, you have become a candidate to be manifested as a wonder to this earth. All right, so having made that point, let's go on to another point before we close today. I want to explain, there was something I said the other day about resonance. That when our actions agree with what is inside our hearts, that great power is made available. But the first thing I want us to bear in mind, which is something along the line of what I've been saying, that when we believe in our hearts, righteousness is the result. Now, what that righteousness is power, actually, encapsulated inside our hearts, inside our spirits, that when released, it manifests as salvation on the surface. But I want to explain something again about how results are produced, first in our hearts and outwardly in our lives. To explain this, let me quickly pick from the book of Isaiah chapter 55. He was describing certain things that mark spiritual operations. And please don't forget, spiritual things are real. They are more real than what we see. They actually are the foundation for that which we see. Verse 6, it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. What's the problem in the first place? Verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Let me stop there in verse 9 and explain some points here. There is what the Bible calls seeking the face of the Lord. When the Bible uses the expression seek the face of God or seek the Lord, what he's saying is that people are in a situation, please get this point, where their life is not agreeing. Their experiences are not the expressions of God's plan for their lives. The nation of Israel, recording the Bible, was recorded for our learning. Now, the nation of Israel, God gave them a covenant. He gave them a law. Now, under the covenant, what he said is that if you will do what I say, then I will most certainly bless you. If you go and read in Deuteronomy chapter 28, there he listed a lot of blessings that those people were supposed to have. That is, if you find them planting, they will most certainly reap abundance of harvest. That they will never have problems with crops. He told them that when they marry, their wives will conceive, and when their wives conceive, she will not miscarry. Are you getting my point? He said that their enemies, he said, that will rise up against them will be defeated before them. That if the enemies come against them one way, they will so defeat the enemies that the enemies will lose their marching order and start running, and therefore running away in as many ways as possible. And when the Bible wants to say that, it tells you 7 ways. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? It said, the Lord will command the blessing upon you in your bands and on all that you put your hands to. That is, the nation of Israel, if they started businesses, those businesses will do well. It said, the Lord will open to you his good storehouse, the heavens, to give rain to your land in a season. And the Lord will bless all the work of your hand. And you shall have so much money that you'll be lending to nations, and you will never have cause to borrow. Now, what he was saying in all of these things, that these are the blessings that you will have for serving the Lord. Now, there will be situations in which the people will become so broke, are you getting me, that they will not only stop lending, they will start borrowing. There will be situations, he said, in which their enemies will come against them 7 ways and lead them away in captivity 1 way. That is, the enemies will overshadow them. There will be situations in which their flocks will miscarry and plagues will attack their farms. Now, that's not what God ordained for things to be. Do you follow my point? And at that time, God will say, seek my face. That is, what has happened is that God has hidden his face from the nation of Israel. Please, I'm trying to explain a concept when we're talking about seeking the Lord or seeking the face of God. That's what we're talking about. That is, things are not working the way they are supposed to work. Therefore, the people needed to go and seek God so as to understand why things are not working and make corrections so that they might begin to work. Now, that's what Isaiah was saying in the book of Isaiah. So he says, seek the Lord while he may be found. call upon him while he is near. What's the genesis of these problems? Is because a man has turned to wickedness. So he said, let the wicked forsake his way. But what I want to emphasize is what he said about the unrighteous man. He said, let him forsake his thoughts. That is, he has a pattern of thinking. He has certain thought patterns that are bringing out a kind of action in his life. And those thought patterns, all right, are the genesis of the activities around him and eventually the result in the problems around him, which is causing him to need to seek the face of God. I hope what I'm saying is making sense. Please, there's something I've been saying. And again, let me say it. It's as a man thinks in his heart that the situations of life respond to him. Are you getting my point? I said something in previous times that, you know, there is something that turns people away from a kind of gospel. There are a lot of people that if they heard the word prosperity, they will have turned off the radio. Well, not that they are used to the Pastor Banky that is preaching. I don't know whether you get my point. If they were hearing me for the first time and they hear me use the word creating the opportunities for prosperity, there is a picture in their hearts that turns them off and they want to put off the radio. It's because we have wrongly explained what prosperity is to people. That is, we have unrighteous thoughts. Do you follow my point? We use the word prosperity and we have an unrighteous thought. A man hears it and he hears unrighteousness being expressed. So he turns off. Many years ago when I was in university, as a junior or middle level student, I remember one of our senior brothers, then he was talking about money. And he said in life, he will have a lot of money. He's going to be very rich and all of that. And that was the beginning of this prosperity move. When the late Archbishop Benson Dawosa, when he was popularizing that statement, my God is not a poor God, all right? So now, people had different ideas about it. Now, so when this guy was speaking, a friend of mine was there. They had a very serious argument that it's not necessary. A Christian doesn't have to think like that. And then, when that other senior guy left, my friend was telling me that I shouldn't mind that fellow. That, you see, it's people like him that we leave school now, enter into government and start chopping government money. I remember what he said, that they go into corruption and all of that. And remembering that encounter, I realized that it's their thoughts that are different. Do you get my point? See, the talk on prosperity was not the problem. It's what it was igniting in the heart of each person. In the second man who was talking, let me tell you something about him. What he was thinking about is that this man wants to drive big cars and oppress the poor. Now, get what I'm saying? He wants to live large and have all the, you know, fine trappings of life. He wants to travel for holidays at will. He wants to have money to spend on parties and stuff like that. Therefore, when you talked about prosperity and being wealthy, what came to his mind was that. Therefore, he rejected it being a good Christian. But the other man thinks that, look, without having abundance of resources, we can't preach the gospel. He said, my cities, true prosperity, shall yet be spread abroad. The silver and the gold, they are all mine. Are you getting my point? He begins to think that a man who has just enough to eat and take care of himself cannot help his neighbor that needs something. He begins to think that, yes, I have enough money to take care of my wife, my children, send them to school. What about the children that don't have a father that has enough money? You know, he is thinking in a deep... Now, both of them are talking prosperity, but the picture in each person's heart is different. And let me say it again. It's not the words first that you say that matter. It's the thoughts they are conveying. Do you follow the point I'm making? No, I've been saying that. That is, first we have something in our heart, then we speak them out before we see tangible manifestations. That the words are according to the picture in our heart. That is why no matter how you pronounce the word Jesus Christ, whichever language the Jesus that you are calling knows his name, anytime the heart utters it. Do you follow my point? Whether you call it in Igbo language, you call it in Hausa language, in Swahili, in Spanish, in Bulgarian, it makes no difference. Once you utter it, in the realm of the spirit, what comes forth into the air is not the sound, but the picture of that one who was conceived of the Holy Spirit in the womb of a virgin, who lived breaking all the powers of the devil, who died on the cross, and who rose up again on the third day and ascended to heaven and sat on the right hand of the majesty on high. Once that is a person, the picture in your heart is describing. No matter the name you used to call him, he hears it in heaven. Are you getting the point I'm making? In the same manner, now please get what I'm going to say. The Bible said, let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. What am I saying? How are you relating to these expressions? There is a thought pattern of unrighteousness. What my friend who was criticizing the other man was thinking, the man was saying, was that this man is uttering unrighteous thoughts about prosperity. Do you follow? Therefore, he rejected it. But let us assume that those are the things in his heart. Then he has what the Bible calls unrighteous thoughts. Even though he comes to church And they say, sow a seed for your prosperity. Please listen to me, saints of God out there. Once he sows that seed, he is sowing it towards unrighteousness. And God will not honor him. Please, I'm trying to introduce a teaching to us about forsaking unrighteous thoughts and getting righteous thoughts. That is, what does God have in mind when he talks about prosperity? If you come to understand prosperity with the attitude of God, then your heart generates an intense force that attracts it towards you every time you speak. Now, that's what we need to understand. Because this is how God does things. First, he puts the heart. You know, I've been talking about this heart thing. Because what Satan has done to us over the years is to kill our hearts. We think it is outside that's where our problems are. No, our problems are inside the heart. And what's my mission? What's my assignment? To convert the heart back away from unrighteousness to the righteousness of God. So that the man will be able to say, I am thinking like God, therefore my ways are like God's ways.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or P.O. Box 2273, Enugu, Nigeria.